Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Good,
good to see you all. Welcome you in the Lord's name, even to our worship service this evening. Let me just get through these announcements as speedily as I can. 8 p.m. on Wednesday night will be our prayer meeting, and Mr. Chris Killen, of course, our Free Presbyterian missionary to the addicted, will be here to speak to us. And I do believe that's a deputation meeting. So just to prepare you for that, it's a missionary deputation meeting on Wednesday evening, and you'll be prepared for that. Then next Sabbath day, the services at the regular times of 11:30 and 6 and 7, rather, and the speaker, the Reverend William McRae. And of course, those services will be preceded by the times of prayers. As we said this morning, the prayer meeting for the 12th, during the 12th week, will be moved to Monday the 10th at the regular time of 8 p.m. And a slight amendment to the announcements this morning. The elders have took responsibility for that, and I'm going to take that meeting. So they can sit back and relax, breathe a sigh of relief, and I'll be taking that meeting on Monday the 10th at 8 p.m. Remember that Christian Workers Training Academy that's commencing on the 12th of October in Tandragee. And the cost is £100, and as I said this morning, the details are all on our Free Presbyterian Facebook page, and you can get the contact details for the Reverend Julian Patterson there. Those are all the announcements, and we make them subject to the will of the Lord. Let's turn in our hymn books now to hymn number 90. Hymn number 90. Oh, how sweet the glorious message, simple faith may claim, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Tremendous hymn. Let's stand to sing hymn number 90, page 212, and let's really worship the Lord.
challenging him. It's quite high. You needed a stepladder to get to it. But you did well. That was fairly good. Now let's seek the Lord together in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we come to the one who changes not. Lord, men change. Even godly men change. Angels have changed. They have left their first estate. Even the heavens will change. But we thank you that you have said, I am the Lord, I change not. Father, we thank you that we have that constant within our lives, those of us that are saved. We have a Lord that we can depend upon. And help us to depend upon thee. Satan would always be trying to cast aspersions at thy great name. Always trying to cast aspersions at thy motives, at thy care. But Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have ever been gracious to us and merciful. Thank you, Lord, that every heartbeat, every breath, every blink of the eye, every movement of every limb is a matter of grace. Father, we thank you for so much. And Lord, help us to be grateful. Help us to be worshipful. Help us to be mindful of these things. Oh, Father, we pray that you'll bless our meeting this evening. Lord, that we will really know the help of God. We want to meet thee. It's lovely to meet God's people. And Lord, we thank you for the fellowship of the saints. But we need to see thee. We need to see Christ lifted up. And we pray for every believer in this place that you will give us a greater exalted view of Jesus Christ. We think of those men in the scriptures who went on and did great things for God. Every one of them had an exalted view of Christ. Think of John in the Revelation, of Ezekiel. Think of Daniel, even by the river. Lord, we pray that you'll give us all a higher view of the Savior, because we know that's the only thing that will bring us and lead us on to higher spiritual heights ourselves. We thank you for the one who took his disciples up onto the mount and onto the Sermon on the Mount, and he lifted them up even with his words. But we thank you, Lord, that even that is with his works that he has truly lifted us from the pit of sin by his work on Calvary. We thank you for so great salvation. Oh, Lord, we pray that that salvation will be experienced here in this meeting this evening, that someone will taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, that they will have done with the broken cisterns of the world, and Lord, that they will come and drink off the fountain, life-giving and free. Oh, Lord, come and bless, we pray. Remember, we pray right across the province. We thank you, Lord, for the tradition of the gospel evening service. Lord, we don't put our faith in traditions, but yet, Lord, we recognize that some traditions are good. And Lord, we thank you for the tradition where in our own denomination where the gospel is preached at least once per day in the evening service. Oh, Lord, we pray that you'll bless this. Lord, that you'll pour out your Holy Spirit and save many, many souls. Bring sinners under great conviction of sin. Oh God, we pray that you'll open their eyes to the reality of how wretched sin is, how awful hell is, and how lovely Christ is. Lord, open eyes, we pray. Give that spiritual sight and spiritual light. Bless, even in the meeting here, bless all that will transpire. We pray for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit in mighty power. Lord, we think even of our brother, the Reverend Omerod, as he begins his ministry today in Ballygowan, and we pray that you will draw close to him. May he really know the Lord at his elbow, that he will really know the presence of God and the help even in the gospel. Lord, we know the devil will seek to try and put barriers in the way of gospel preaching, but we pray you'll really give him real liberty tonight in this in the gospel service. And for here also that we will know that I know liberty and help. And Lord, we just pray for this place. We pray for the need of the hour. We pray for a man to stand here, to pastor the flock, to minister to the flock. Lord, we pray that you will just work sovereignly and wonderfully and even miraculously and bring a man of your choice to this place. Lord, we know if he's thy man. Lord, if he's our man, if he's just someone who's decided from our own tastes, well, that would be disaster. But if he's thy man, what a difference it'll make. Oh, Lord, come and move. Supply the need in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Well, folks, I'm going to take liberties this evening, so I am, because over this morning and also last Sunday evening, a number of people asked me, would I sing for the congregation. And so Cherith and I are going to sing this evening. I trust you'll forgive us for taking liberties in that respect, but we trust these pieces are a blessing to your soul.
It took a miracle to hang the world.
John chapter 10, and we'll read down to verse 11, and then we'll go over to the book of the Revelation and the first chapter, and we'll take 8 verses from there. Both very familiar passages. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then if we come over to the book of the Revelation, the book of Revelation and chapter 1, and we'll read the first 8 verses, I think will be sufficient. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and we know the Lord will bless the reading of his divine and infallible word to our hearts. We're going to sing again. We'll turn to the hymn number 58, please. The hymn number 58. Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Another tremendous hymn. Let's stand and sing, and let's really worship the Lord. Let's lift it up now. Oh, hold on a second, because hold on. I'm still not used to this collection business, because we've just started the collection in Cookstown. So I can ask you to take your seats again, and I apologize for any inconvenience that might have occurred. We'll stay seated for the first 2 verses. We only started the collection in Cookstown. You see, that was last week or the week before, and we're just not back into that groove yet. So if we stay seated for 1 and 2, and then we'll rise for 3, and the stewards will wait upon you for the offering. now. To sing just one more piece before we come to the preaching of the word. Once again, it's a familiar piece just straight out of our hymn books. Sometimes when you look out into the world around you, you might be forgiven for thinking that things are moving according to the drumbeat of the devil. But they are most certainly not. They are most certainly not. Indeed, as this hymn puts it, God's truth is marching on.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is friend. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Morning on the way, he is wisdom to the mighty, he is succor to the the break, so the world shall be his footstool, and the soul of time is free. Our God is watching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, 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 hallelujah. His truth is watching on. Is watching on.
Chapter 1, and I just want to take as our text the verse 8, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And we want to just think about a very simple gospel application of this for our current times. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we understand the responsibility that we have when we open the book before us, even if it's only to read, that we are responsible to be doers, not just hearers. We pray for all in this meeting that they would be doers. Those that are not saved, may they do for the first time. May they step out in faith into Jesus Christ and receive him to be their Savior. Lord, we pray that you'll help me, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. We feel the responsibility, knowing, Lord, that thy truth is indeed marching on and that your word is accomplishing that which you have sent it to do. Therefore, Lord, what a privilege to have a part, a small, an infinitesimally small part in the plan of God. But we pray that you'll fill me with thy Holy Spirit and help me to discharge that part properly. Save souls, glorify Christ's great name. Amen. When I was a little boy, I was often told that it's rude to interrupt. And, of course, like many little boys, I had too much to say, and I interrupted far too often. Occasionally, I would share my pearls of wisdom with those who were much older and wiser than myself. And afterwards, there would come the rebuke that it was rude to interrupt. I would be reminded that children ought to be seen and not heard, and not interrupt adult conversation again, and it was wise advice. Of course, it's not just children whose interruptions can be unwelcome. There are adults whose constant interruptions can become an annoyance. I was at a home doing a pastoral visit on an occasion, and a gentleman and his wife were there in the home, and the wife was constantly interrupting her husband. Every sentence he began, she finished. And quite often, before she got to the end of the sentence, she would have contradicted the beginning of the sentence. And this went on right throughout the whole duration of the visit. And I have to say, I got a bit niggled at it. So much so that when she began to interrupt, I would interrupt her back and began just talking straight back to her husband. And I'm sure it happens the opposite way, of course. I'm not making any kind of points. But in this particular house, that was the way in which it happened. A very unwelcome interruption. But tonight I want you to consider a very welcome interruption into the conversation. An interruption that was made by none other than Jesus Christ himself. A most blessed, a most powerful interjection from the Savior. Now here in Revelation chapter 1, John is speaking. We have in the first two verses, we have the description, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So we have the description of this whole book. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And many people approach this book looking to find out what is going to happen in the future. Well, if you approach this book like that, then you'll not get anything from it, really. You've got to approach this book looking for Jesus Christ, because as the very first line says, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. So John gives us the description. And then in verse 3, he gives a blessing for those who read. Blessed is he that readeth. So it's a good enterprise to read this book. And to study this book, there's a divine blessing on all who do. And then from verses 4 to 6, we have John's greeting. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. But it's not really only from John. Because as you look at those verses 4 through 6, you will realize that it's from the Lord. John is presenting a greeting, yes, from himself, but from the Lord. And then at the end of verses 5 and 6, he begins to burst into praise. There he says, from Jesus, who, verse 5, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He suddenly bursts into praise, into what we would call a doxology. He's thinking about Christ. He's thinking about all that Jesus Christ has done for him as Savior. And he just can't stop himself. He bursts into worship. Unto him that has loved us be glory. And it's in this spirit of worship, it's in this spirit of adoration that he enters verse 7. Thinking about the glory of Christ, he says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. He says, behold, look, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus is coming again, and you better be ready for that day, because it will fill some with gladness, and it will fill some with dread. And immediately in verse 8, Jesus Christ speaks up. Jesus Christ interjects. Now, verse 8 is not John. It's not John that's saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which was to come, the Almighty. It's not John speaking that. John's recording it, but he's not speaking it. The Lord Jesus Christ has interjected, he's interrupted. I want you to note that those are exactly the very same words that he says in verse 11. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Yes. And if you look down to verse 13, you'll see quite clearly that it was the Lord Jesus Christ who was saying those words. Because there in verse 13 it says, in the midst of the candlesticks, the same person who spoke the words in verse 13, he says, in the midst of the candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. And that's a Hebraism for saying, it's the Son of Man. It's Jesus. So the person speaking in verse 11, and what we're looking at this evening, the person speaking in verse 8, is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. And Jesus interrupts John. And he announces his presence. John is filled with rapture. And Christ announces his presence. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the Eternal One. That's what Alpha and Omega mean, of course. I am the Almighty. All power is given unto me. Reminds me a little bit of the the political adverts that you get not here in Ulster but over in the United States. You've maybe seen them. And, you know, you'll get maybe a 3 to 4 minute video about a candidate, someone who's standing for governor, someone who's standing for president, and is telling you about all the great things about the candidate and why you should vote for them. And at the end of the advert, the candidate speaks himself and he says, "I'm such and such, and I endorse this advert." And that's sort of what's happening here. John is telling us about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's glorifying him, he's worshipping him, he's warning us that Jesus Christ is coming and we have to be ready. And Jesus Christ stands up and says, "I endorse this message. I endorse this message. I endorse this revelation." That's an amazing thing. Can I encourage you, Christian, that if you have the courage to speak up for Christ, then he'll speak up with you. Yeah? If you decide that you're going to be a witness for Jesus Christ and you're going to tell people about Jesus and how he saves, if you're going to tell them about his so great salvation, if you're going to tell them what he has done for your soul and that someday he's coming back to reign, the Lord Jesus Christ won't leave you high and dry. He'll speak up with you. He'll endorse your words with his power. There's a timeless principle in the Bible that God honors those who honor him. And here's John speaking up about Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ endorses it. He interjects. He steps up and speaks in. He honors John. I want to speak to you this evening on the subject of not the end. Because in one verse here, in verse 8, the Lord Jesus Christ drops a bomb on what many people believe today. He drops a bomb. Three fake ideas that are floating around in people's heads. And the Lord just, in one verse, he just blows them up. He burns them down to the ground. Verse 8 is a bomb, what we might call today a truth bomb, in this old fake world. And I want just to share with you three things that this verse says. It says, Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, first of all, says that you and I are not the end. You and I are not the end. In Greek mythology, there was a character called Narcissus. Narcissus was a hunter. An incredibly handsome man. Incredibly handsome. In fact, he would almost say beautiful. And he, in the mythology, he acted hard to get. You know what I mean when I say hard to get. And he would never let anyone sort of captivate him as love. And one day, he saw his own reflection in a pool. And he fell so in love with himself that he just sat down there and he looked into that pool and he stared into that pool. And he sat there for the rest of his life. And the mythology says, of course, that when he died, a flower grew in his place, the flower Narcissus. Now, of course, that's just myth. It's not true. But the myth was made up with a very serious message in mind. If you're taken up with yourself, you will waste your life. That's essentially what the myth says. And from that myth, we get the word narcissism. A word that is being used more and more and more today. We live in the social media age. We live in the age where people are dominated by these little machines with their screens. And people are constantly posting about themselves, where they are, what they're doing, what they've had for breakfast, what they've had for lunch, what they've had for dinner, what they think on a certain subject, what they think on this, what they think on that. And you know what it all amounts to? It amounts to self, 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 self. Simple. Now, I'm not against social media. Absolutely not. I better not be. I'm the person who runs the Free Presbyterian Facebook page. So I'm not against social media. There's nothing wrong with the tool. There's nothing wrong with the tool. Let me make that very, very clear. Nothing wrong with sharing good experiences. Nothing wrong with helping others. Nothing wrong with giving advice. Nothing wrong with sharing ideas. But social media is definitely producing a whole load of narcissists. People to whom they are the beginning and the end. They themselves are the first thought that they think in the morning and the last thought that occupies their mind at night and every thought in between. Narcissists. Led by people, and I'm going to be maybe a little bit controversial here, I don't think I'll be too controversial, but led by people like Meghan and Harry, who despite their immense privilege, their $11 million house, their multi-million dollar deals, in the face of millions who are enduring real hardship, they're fixated on telling us all their problems. And to that world that we live in, to that narcissistic world that we live in, verse 8 comes like a bomb. Jesus says, I'm the beginning and I'm the end. I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. You see, folks, this world is not about me and it's not about you. It's about Christ. It's about Christ. This world is not the theater for my plans, and it's not the theater for your plans. It's the theater for God's plan, wherein he is bringing about his glory through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the truth is this, that if I fill my life from beginning to end with me, you see, just like Narcissus, I'll end up wasting my whole life. I'll end up wallowing in the lake of fire for all eternity. But you see, if I fill my life and if you fill your life with Christ, it'll lead you to a deeper, fuller, richer experience. And then at the end, eternal glory. You see? We read in John chapter 10 there. And the Lord Jesus Christ identifies himself, to use a modern term. He identifies himself as the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, he's the good shepherd that King David followed in Psalm 23. And David found that when he followed the good shepherd, when he filled his view with Jesus Christ, he found fulfillment. Because he says, I shall not want. I shall not want. I'll be satisfied. He found that when he filled his view with Jesus Christ, he was led through green pastures. He was led by still waters. He was led along paths of righteousness. He found that that Christ accompanied him through the dark valleys, fed him in the presence of his enemies. And he found that every day in life there were two sheepdogs that followed him, goodness and mercy, all the way home. You see? And then in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. Folks, Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end of all things. Jesus Christ is the creator who made this earth. Jesus Christ is the redeemer who's going to retake this earth. That's a certainty. There's no debate about that. The question is he your be-all and end-all? Is he the focus of your life? Is that where your eyes are? He says, follow me. And of course, that journey begins at Calvary. You can't follow the Lord Jesus Christ until you've been to Calvary. Yes? We read in John chapter 10 where Christ says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But John chapter 10 is followed by John chapter 11. And it doesn't take you to be smart to work that one out. But John chapter 11 says this, I'm the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. You see, the abundant life in Christ always begins at the cross. That's where it always begins. It always begins by coming and kneeling before Christ. Looking up at the crucified Savior. Recognizing that you're a sinner. Recognizing that your sin will be judged forever. And recognizing that there on the cross, Jesus Christ took your place. Took your place. To offer you salvation. And abundant life. Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and Omega. He says,
You're not the be all and end all. Jesus is the one who is the Alpha and the Omega. I wonder if you recognize that. Let me come to the second point. The first point is that you and I are not the end. The second point is this, that Satan's not the end. I was watching a presentation by a leading creation scientist, and he made the admission that 90-something percent of scientists believe in evolution. Yeah. 90-something percent of scientists believe that this beautiful, complex world that we live in just happened. Just happened by chance. Just happened by chance and the instinct to survive. And it all sort of worked itself through. Now, quite where that instinct to survive came from, who knows, but they believe it. Of course, that should be no surprise. Because that's what's being taught in our Western schools. I mean, we expect our children to believe the teacher when the teacher tells them 2 plus 2 equals 4. So we should expect them to believe the teacher when the teacher says that evolution is how we came to be. In our Western world, Satan has taken control of the beginning. He has in many minds expelled Christ from his own creation. Sadly, many people are living as though Satan will be in control at the end of times. You might forgive them for that. As you look out and you see the sin and the wickedness, you could be forgiven for thinking that Satan was in control and that his plans were coming to pass with the war and the strife and the sin and the corruption in every hand. But the Lord Jesus Christ interjects into our Western world, and he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am, I was, I'm coming back. I'm the A to Z. I've started this world, and I'm going to finish this world. I spoke it, and it came into existence. And I'm going to speak again, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Yes. And I want to say to you, if there's an unsaved person in this meeting, they are unsaved, friend, you be sure that you're choosing the right side. You see, Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega. Jesus Christ is the true Alpha male. You hear a lot about that, don't you? In our society, in our culture, you hear a lot about the term the alpha male, the big, strong, dominant person. The man who makes things happen, the man who succeeds. Satan wants you to believe it's him. Let me tell you, it's not. Jesus Christ is the alpha male. Because he crushed Satan at Calvary. Folks, Satan and all his power could not prevent Jesus Christ from going to the cross. Oh man, he tried. He tried and he tried and he tried. He got an A for effort. He tried with Pharaoh to destroy the people of Israel. He tried with Haman to destroy the people of Israel. He tried with Herod to destroy the people of Israel. He tried with the Jews. When outside his own town they grabbed him and would have thrown him off a cliff. He tried right to the end. Man, he tried. A for effort. Even right to Calvary, come down from the cross. But Jesus crushed his head, crushed it. All of Satan's power through all of the ages could not prevent Jesus Christ from winning on Calvary. See, Jesus Christ is the true Alpha male. But let me tell you this, Jesus Christ is the true Omega man. Because you see, when all this is settled, you see, when all the dust is settled, there'll be one left standing. And it'll be Christ. I'm sure you've seen many, read many a book and seen many a film about a fight. Maybe you think about the film The Quiet Man, that classic film. You know, the two great characters, John Wayne as Sean Thornton and the other fellow as Danaher. And it's all building up to this fight and only one's going to be left standing. Well, let me tell you this, in the end of this time, there's only going to be one left standing, and it's Jesus Christ. Turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 22.
Oh, listen, when this old world is wound up, and when time has run its course, and when Satan has done its worst, and when darkness has reached its blackest, it'll be Jesus and Jesus only. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. And he showed me a river of pure water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. You fast forward right to the end. And what do you find? You find no Satan, no Antichrist, no sin, no fallen angels, no rebellion. Just a throne. The throne of the Lamb. Yeah. Jesus says, Revelation 1 verse 8, I'm the one which was, and which were, which is and which was, and which is to come. I'm not going anywhere. I'm the great I am. Or as one preacher says it, Jesus Christ is not the great I was, he's the great I am. It's time to choose sides, folks. It's time to choose sides. You and I are not the end. Satan is not the end. Death is not the end. The current Speaker of the House of Representatives in Washington is a gentleman called Kevin McCarthy. His predecessor was a lady called Nancy Pelosi, who, in my opinion, has said some very evil things. One day she was holding a press conference, and the subject was illegal immigration. Quite topical. And she wanted to try to argue that the illegal immigrants should be made citizens. I suppose a cynical person would say that she wanted them to vote for her party. But she said that these immigrants deserved compassion. And what was her reason? Because she said that these people were human beings who had the spark of divinity, something of God within them. And therefore they couldn't be turned away. Now it's interesting because the same woman doesn't believe that unborn babies have the spark of divinity. There, it's quite okay to abort them. But when it comes to illegal immigration, the illegal immigrants have got the spark of divinity. But you know, in a sense, she's right. We're all born with something that relates to the Lord. We're all born with eternal existence. We're all born with a never-dying soul. And Jesus says in Revelation 1 and verse 8, I am the one which is and which was and which is to come. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm eternal. And Christ, when he created us, gave us an eternal existence. Now, we're not like Christ because we have a beginning. He has always been, but we have a beginning. But we are like Christ in that we have no ending. Yes. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, what he's really saying is death is not the end. Yes. There are things that go beyond death. Christ, obviously, being one of them, but you and I is another. And Satan doesn't want you thinking about eternity. Let's be very clear here. Satan does not want you thinking about eternity. He wants you to make you think about politics. He's quite happy for you to think about sport. Happy to think about your farming, your family. He's quite happy to have you thinking about absolutely everything and anything except eternity. Except eternity. Doesn't want you to think about that great white throne that will be set and that every individual will stand before. Doesn't want you to think about paradise. Doesn't want you to think about perdition, heaven or hell. Oh yes, think about the here and now. Think about 2023. But don't think about eternity. Folks, come with me please just over to the back of the book of Revelation. And chapter 20. And let me just read a few verses. And if you're not saved, can I say this? You take this home and you read this book. and read these verses. And you pray that God will speak to your heart. I saw verse 11, Revelation 20, verse 11. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Folks, death is not the end. And the sea gave up the dead. You just think about that in the context of our recent past. The dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now mark this last verse. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Tell me, is that you? I'm not going to prolong it, because I don't have to prolong it. Is that you? The scripture is absolutely, abundantly clear. Crystal clear. If your name is not in the Lamb's book of life, you'll be in the lake of fire. Only two options, folks. Paradise or perdition. We've all got plans for next week. I have my plans laid out, what I intend to do. Might never see any of them. You might not even get home tonight. If you were to leave this scene of time, if tonight was to be your last, if your life was to be measured in a matter of minutes rather than days or weeks or years, where will it be? For you in eternity. Jesus says, I'm the beginning. I'm the Alpha. And I'm the Omega. Time to choose your side, folks. Let's seek the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this glorious interruption that our Savior made into the conversation of John. Thank you, Lord, that he is the beginning, and he is the ending, and everything in between. We bless thee for the one who is King of Kings and Lord of all. And if there's one in this meeting, or more than one, who has been halting between two opinions, who has been putting off getting right with thee, help them to realize that they've already made a decision in that. And they're not choosing Christ. And Lord, by your grace, I pray that you will draw them. Draw them to the foot of the old rugged cross. May they look up at the one who gave himself for them. And Lord, give them that gift of faith to trust in Christ and repentance to turn from sin. Part us now with thy blessing. Remember this place for good. In Jesus' name. Amen.